Welcome and good afternoon. Thank you for joining the PLDT conference call. This call is being recorded, and replay information will be provided at the end of the call. At this point, I would like to turn you over to Melissa Rahel de Dios, Head of Investor Relations of PLDT, for the introduction. Go ahead. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss the company's financial and operating results for the first 9 months of 2015. As mentioned in the conference call invitation, a copy of today's presentation is posted on our website. For those who have not been able to do so, you may download the presentation from www.pldt.com under the Investor Relations section. For today's presentation, we have with us members of the PLDT Group Management Team, namely Mr. Manny Pangilinan, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Paulie Nazareno, President and Chief Executive Officer of both PLDT and Smart, Ms. Annabel Lim Chua, Chief Financial Officer of PLDT, Mr. Ariel Fermin, Head of our Consumer Business, Mr. Eric Alberto, Head of our Enterprise Business, Ms. Shea Cabal-Revilla, Chief Finance Officer of Smart, Mr. Doy Vea, President of Voyager, our Innovations Unit, Attorney Ray Espinosa, and Mr. Yorn Joachim Horn, who is our Chief Technology and Integration Officer. At this point, let me turn the floor over to Mr. Paulie Nazareno for the presentation.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. Let me begin by showing you our results for the third quarter of 2015, which are showing encouraging signs that we are starting to make progress with respect to our recent initiatives. Because of the structural decline of our toll businesses, in this presentation, we will be highlighting results of operations, net of international long distance and national long distance revenue. We believe that this presents a more meaningful and accurate picture of the businesses that we are actively managing. Consolidated revenues were higher year-on-year by 2% at $42.7 billion, with service revenues up by 1% at $40.8 billion. Excluding revenues from our toll businesses, consolidated service revenues rose by 4% year-on-year to $36 billion, with the fixed and wireless businesses registering growth of 9% and 1% respectively. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was stable at $18.5 billion, while EBITDA margin stood at 45%. Core income for the period was lower by 7% year-to-year to $54.1 billion, with EBITDA margin at 44%. Excluding the impact of the 1.4 billion peso MRP or manpower reduction program expense booked in the second quarter, EBITDA would have been lower by 3% with EBITDA margin at 45%. Core income for the period declined by 5% to 27.1 billion. While reported net income was lower at $25.3 billion, mainly due to higher net forex losses due to the peso depreciation. On the next slide, last quarter we outlined our strategy of how we would become the consumer's preferred digital service provider. This involved offering the customer a superior value proposition that included connectivity, entertainment, convenience, urban comfort, and peace of mind, and delivering a consistent quality data experience. Even as the execution of this strategy is underway, let me now share with you a few milestones. We indicated that the impact of carrying out our strategy would fully manifest in 2016. This early, we are seeing positive trends emerging. On the next slide, you will recall that the third quarter is seasonally weak historically. Nonetheless, our wireless and fixed line service revenues, net of toll businesses revenues, registered quarter on year and year on year improvements, quarter on quarter and year on year improvements. Our wireless business grew 1% quarter on quarter and year on year from declines in previous quarters. The fixed line business, on the other hand, showed sequential quarterly and year on year increases. On the next slide, a key element of our strategy involves the improvement of network quality and the customer's data experience. At the end of September, we have spent about $23.3 billion out of the $43 billion of CAPEX we earmarked for 2015. Our CAPEX investments for this year include, among others, expansion of 3G and 4G coverage, provisioning of transport, expansion in international connectivity and caching to improve internet speed and customer experience, building additional network resiliency and redundancy in order to ensure the consistent and reliable delivery of connectivity to the customer, migration to the new data centers to improve service availability to 99.99%. The PLDT Group has continued to make significant investments in improving its unparalleled network. Including this year's $43 billion, the PLDT Group's investment in CAPEX from 2010 will amount to 203 billion pesos, or about 4.6 billion U.S. dollars. On the next slide, an important leg of our strategy involves the continuous expansion of our fixed and wireless offers to the consumer. On this slide, you will see a few of the recent offers of our new consumer group under which our individual and home businesses have been integrated. Some of our recent launches include the partnership with Uber and Airbnb. PLDT Home was also the first to launch the country's most powerful broadband, our fiber giga plans. Interest remains strong for iFlix, an SVOD or subscription video on demand offer, as well as Fox plans that offer live and catch up TV. In addition to inroads made by viewing the customer through one lens, we are also beginning to see benefits from our efforts to sharpen the differentiation among our wireless brands, Smart, TNT, and Sun. On the next slide, our consumer group continues to make headway in the market. PLDT Home further strengthened its leadership in connected home with digital services. Smart posted an all-time high in broadband and mobile internet growth. PLDT Smart leads digital innovation with strategic partnerships to deliver entertainment, peace of mind, and urban comfort. On the next slide, on the enterprise side, our enterprise group remains the unparalleled leader in the corporate and SME markets. The enterprise group's focus is to further accelerate market leadership by digitally enabling businesses. The group has a wide array of data-centric business solutions and initiatives, which include, among others, managing and operating the largest data center operations in the Philippines, further expanding the mobility solutions portfolio, as well as enabling their clients' transition from the brick-and-mortar world into the digital universe. On the next slide, part of our strategy calls for the development of future sources of additional revenues and platforms to enhance PLDT's value proposition. Executing on this are our innovations group, Voyager, and PLDT Capital, our innovation gateway between Silicon Valley, Los Angeles, and Southeast Asia. Voyager has identified PayMaya as one of its proven winners. It is the domestic remittance market leader with a 30% market share and a 36% year-on-year revenue growth. Recently, PayMaya also launched an all-in-one virtual card that can be used for online payments with a feature that allows its use in Metro Manila's light rail transit system. PLDT Capital, on the other hand, intends to invest in spaces adjacent to the group's main businesses. PLDT Capital recently announced investments in a loyalty program platform and a multiple screen as a service platform, both of which will be used by the group and will be marketed commercially. On the next slide, while we remain focused on executing our strategy, we recognize some of the realities we face. Our toll businesses will continue to be a drag, even more so as we push the growth of our data businesses. And until such time when data is at least 40% of our total revenues, we will need to better compete by providing the customer and enterprise customer superior value and a consistent and reliable quality experience that a superior network will make possible. Given elevated CapEx levels and plans to invest in new businesses, we need to manage our cash prudently, knowing that data monetization and returns on our investments may take time. Nevertheless, we are encouraged by our early wins and are looking forward to providing you with more updates on our progress in the quarters to come. At this point, allow me to hand over the floor to our chairman, Mr. Manny V. Pangilinan, the group, for the group guidance for the end of 2015.
Thank you, Pauly, and good afternoon to everybody. As to the core net income guidance for the full year 2015, in the context of year-to-date core income of 27.1 billion, implying an average quarterly core of approximately 9 billion, we affirm our core net income guidance for 2015 at 35 billion pesos, and there's a chance that we might perform slightly better than this particular number. As to CAPEX for the year, we're guiding total CAPEX as up to 43 billion pesos for the full year 2015, which is an historic high for PLDT. This translates to 27% of service revenues for the full year. As to dividends, we maintain our regular dividend of 75% of core earnings. As to special dividend, the scope and the quantum of the special dividend out to 2015 core might be limited owing to the high level of CAPEX anticipated for 2015 and the slightly higher leverage we're seeing following the investment in Rocket Internet and other Internet companies that we have made an investment in the course of the year. We will determine that in the early part of 2016 as to the extent of the special dividend we can give after the year ends, 2015. So that, I'd like to turn over the floor to Melissa.
We're now ready to take questions. Operator, can you call up the dial
in? Thank you. All right. The floor is now open for your questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 slowly on your telephone keypad. Should you wish to cancel your question, you may press star 2 key. Our first question comes from Luis Hilado. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for the call. I have three questions. The first two on the results and the third on the PayMaya regional launch. On the results, just wondering, there was significantly lower selling and promotion expenses both year-on-year and Q-on-Q. Is this a industry trend, and do you expect this, at least on a year-on-year basis, to continue in the fourth quarter? The second question is with regards to CAPEX in 2016 and onwards. Given the prospects of your current competition and perhaps future competition, are you looking at CAPEX to be next year to be similar to this year's levels? And the last question is on PayMaya. Once you launch it outside the Philippines. Just wondering what type of distribution network you will have in terms of any synergies with the Rocket Internet Group in terms of the loading centers.
Thank you, Louis, for those questions. On the first question, allow me to refer you to Ariel Fermin, the head of our consumer group, on ad and promo expenses and at what level it would be moving forward.
So good afternoon. I am Ariel. And in response to your question on A&P spending, yes, you will see some optimization happening. And we feel that it will continue for the rest of the year and the coming years. And that's largely because of the clarity, a little bit more clarity that we have and on where we want to take the brands, particularly SmartSun and TNT. That's one. We did it in a way that was complementing to all brands, just making sure that they occupy very specific positions in the market. The second driver for the optimization of the A&P would be just focusing largely on data group because we felt that that was the key driver to moving mobile and, of course, fixed to the digital space. So that's what we did in the past quarter, and you'd see in the results that actually has resulted to a lot of growth, both from a broadband standpoint and, of course, for mobile internet as well.
Okay. On the PayMaya question, our strategy in deploying internationally is for Rocket and us to partner with a local entity. And our criteria for the local partner would be, one, having an e-money license, two, having a good network or points of presence across the country, and third, having a respected brand, because after all, it's about money, and trust is a major criterion for the partner. So that's how, right now, we're in discussions with at least three entities covering several countries, and we are expecting to close the first one in the next few weeks.
I think in Indonesia, the local, the logical local partner is the Indofood Southern Group, because they have obviously a very significant distribution network because of Indofood, Indomarko, which is the largest distributor in Indonesia, and a very significant retail presence. The Salim Group has the largest convenience store network in Indonesia with, as we speak, about 12,000 stores nationwide, and they continue to build it out. So they are the logical partner. We're talking to Anthony now about how we can work together on the PayMaya space, but also in other internet spaces that he is also quite keen to pursue.
I think on the next question, was it Louis? Was it about CapEx?
Yes, 2016 in particular. If you expect it to be similar to this year?
I think I want to let our head of technology, Mr. Joaquim Horn, to answer you that question.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Joaquim Horn here. We have our plan for the next years to invest, and we expect that the CapEx levels for the next years will be elevated. The precise plan has not been completed.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's very clear.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Arthur Pineda. Your line is now open.
Hi, for the opportunity. Three questions from me as well. Firstly, what are your thoughts on smartphone data pricing in the Philippines now? Is there still more elasticity in this space? Second question I had is with regard to your mobile subspace. Could you just provide some flavor on what's happening here? Why is it continuing to shrink as such? And third question I had is linked to your data network and Louis' earlier question on CapEx. Where are you now with regard to your LTE network deployment? And is there room for you to actually see material expansion in CapEx should a new player emerge, or are you happy with your planned level of build-out?
On your question on smartphone pricing elasticity, what specific, did you want any specific insight on that one?
Just on the data pricing in the Philippines, is that likely to go down even further, and will that actually allow for some elasticity, or do you think at this stage there's not much room to cut rates?
Well, I think at this point we're running at optimized rates already, and we're giving the consumer what we felt was deserved. We're bundling it with the traditional services, as you know, that will be calling and texting. We're moving toward, what do you call it, bucket plans, you know, for the consumers to enjoy data. It really depends on his lifestyle, whether he had wanted to enjoy this for one day or for one week. So that's pretty much what we have. We've not really, you know, changed our plans as we speak. And what we're seeing is that consumers are choosing the plan that fits his lifestyle.
On the on the data network LTE coverage, we have currently covered the major cities like Metro Manila, Cebu, and Davao. And what you need to take into account is that the penetration of LTE phones is still below 10%. It's actually at 9%, but it's growing. It's growing rapidly, so we will expand our LTE coverage in the next years. We have planned for a substantial rollout in the coming years. On the 3G side, we will end the year with a 7,300 base station 3G coverage. That's most of our base stations will have 3G. What is also important in this context is the upgrade of the backbone and the backhaul network, which is in full swing as we speak.
Understood. So if I could just follow up on the second question I had earlier, what's happening in the mobile subs base? Any flavor there and why it's continuing to shrink? Was there any promotion which is churning?
Well, the pinch right now is being felt particularly in prepaid. We felt that the challenge is there for two reasons. Number one is that there is really just intense competition in that segment. Number two, it's of our own doing because we've moved some of the better-paying prepaid subscribers of higher value to postpaid. Well, I guess the third one would be we've also been a little bit more vigilant in cleaning our subscriber base to be consistent with our, churn policies.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 slowly on your telephone keypad. Should you wish to cancel your question, you may press star 2 key. Our next question comes from Rama Maruvat. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Three questions for me, please. Firstly, again, with regards to the sub base and the brief comments you made with regards to the prepaid, would you be able to clarify a bit more in terms of the drivers behind the 7% year-on-year decline in the prepaid revenues? Is this purely competition, or is this, to what extent is it the cleanup? Just want to get a better sense of how this would trend going forward. The second one, again, is on the local exchange subscriber and revenue trends. I mean, the subgrowth seems to be surprising in the past couple of quarters. Just wondering, is this a one-off increase that you're looking at, or do you actually expect the fixed-line subscriber base to increase over the coming years? Finally, with regards to Telstra, we did pick up your comments that you're prepared, but would like to have more comments on what areas do you expect the business needs to prepare more before a new entrant comes in. Thank you.
All right, just to clarify, the first question, it'll be again on the decline in subspace, particularly for prepaid. There will be three reasons for that one. Number one would be, intense competition. That is a byproduct of that result, of that factor. Number two would be we have proactively mined our prepaid subscribers, those of highest value, and those who have been loyal to our brands, to postpaid and enjoy the benefits of being a postpaid subscriber of Smart and Sun in this case. The third one would be we've aligned the churn guidelines, particularly of Sun, for them to be consistent with Smart. So those are the three reasons for the subscribers base decline in prepaid.
I'll try to answer the second question on the local exchange. The growth on local exchange actually can be explained by two factors. First, this is a result of our bundling of our broadband with landline. So with the increase in broadband adoption to subscribers, they bundled the landline. The second one is a new enablement, landline enablement for micro businesses and SMEs. That explains the increase in local exchange.
On the entrance of Telstra, what we need to do is, regardless of whether a third party is coming in or not, really, is for us to fortify our network and expand the coverage and the capacity of our networks, both on 3G, 4G, and the rest, and also look at our what is going on is actually we are increasing the capacity also of our international connectivity as because as you know over 90% of our content is coming from the US and Europe, and on top of that we will have to really move intensely into sharpening our brands and differentiating all our three brands, Smart, TNT, and Sun. And we're beginning to see some fruits into those initiatives. And thirdly, we have to look at our costs and be prudent in our costs because monetization will come not overnight. And at the same time, we have to really pursue our innovation initiatives both on the Voyager side and in the PLDT Capital side, which is the international gateway for us in terms of investments for in Silicon Valley, linking Silicon Valley ourselves and Southeast Asia.
Only can I add to your,
yes,
to your point? This is Ray Espinosa. Just to add to Paulie's points, another important measure that we would be undertaking is to vigorously press our claim before the NTC to be given a fair and reasonable share or allocation of 700 megahertz frequency. This is a frequency whose value we need to unlock in order to provide us with the capability to provide faster speeds for mobile internet and data connectivity. As of today, the entire 700 megahertz block is basically in the hands of three companies, and none of these spectrum allocations are being used, whereas the incumbents, ourselves and Globe, who have been applying for a fair and reasonable share of this frequency, have not been given any allocation. This is not consistent with the current laws and regulations obtaining in the Philippines. Neither is it consistent with the harmonized standards of use for an allocation for the 700 MHz frequency as provided in the paper of the Asia-Pacific Telecom Unity, which is a member of the ITU. The Philippines is a contracting party and signatory to both the APT and ITU. In fact, the Philippines participated in the APT conference that came out with this paper about the fair and efficient allocation of 700 megahertz frequency. The 700 megahertz represents the digital dividend from the shift in analog broadcasting spectrum to the digital terrestrial TV, therefore freeing up this valuable resource for mobile telecommunications. All around the world, 700 megahertz is regarded as scarce and a very critical frequency for enhanced mobile communications. In the Philippines in particular, where speed is becoming an issue, both incumbents need a fair and reasonable share of the 700 megahertz frequency so that we can provide our existing customers with increased internet speed in the mobile area. So we intend to press our claim before the NTC. So far, our petitions have not been acted upon by the NTC. And if necessary, we will vigorously press our legal claims before the appropriate courts.
Understand. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pankaj Suri. Your line is now open.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, yes. We can.
Hi, it's Sachin Gupta here. I just had a couple of questions as well. Just firstly, going back to the spectrum issue, in the event that yourselves and Globe, you can appeal for some 700, is there a possibility that SMC and Telstra, they can actually get more spectrum in the other bands, let's say 900 or 1800 or even 2.1, which could actually make their business case more viable? So that was one question I had. Secondly, just on the dividend, sorry, I apologize if I forgot the, what you said in the last quarter. You obviously got a look-back approach. Is there any reason why the look-back approach this year could be different to previous years, given the CapEx has picked up?
Let's respond to the first question. On the matter of frequency allocation, the SMC group, and if Telstra ever comes in, already has the allocations on the other frequency spectrum. What they have exclusively, though, is the 700 megahertz, to which both incumbents, Globe and ourselves, are not being given a fair and reasonable allocation. So today, if they were to come in, they would have access to other frequencies that we have, but we don't have access to the most valuable mobile spectrum frequency today, which is 700 megahertz.
Well, on the dividends, what we said on the special dividend is that we really have to assess the situation very carefully in light of the high capex this year and the continuing high level capex for the next 2 or 3 years, given the requirements of the business and in light of possible more intense competition. No? So. For that reason and for the fact that we've invested in Rocket Internet and other Internet companies, which called upon the cash of PLDT in the course of 2015, we really have to be very careful as to the extent and scope of the special dividends that might be prudent in light of those circumstances. So let's just wait until the year ends, and we will in the early part of 2016, we will have a careful examination of the cash position of PLDT as at year end and looking forward for the next 2 or 3 years.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions, Mr. Pankaj?
No, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from Trinity Singh. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Hi, this is Trinity from JP Morgan. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, on the fixed line operations, you've seen a pretty significant margin expansion. Just wanted to understand what is the source of this expansion and how should we think about the fixed line margins going forward. And the second question is basically to do with your capital structure. If you could just remind us, what is the maximum gearing levels that you would be comfortable with? That's all from me. Thank you.
I'll try to answer the first question. Eric Alberto here from Enterprise. The margin is expanding because we're going beyond access in the way we engage our relationships, particularly in the enterprise space, but also in the consumer space when they when we do a triple play. In doing business solutions and ICT engagement, we actually insulate our relationships with our enterprises with the stickier access engagement as well as increase in our revenue upstream through the upsell of such solutions as that will make our relationships even more stickier.
Further to Eric Snow, this is Ariel for the consumer group. Now, specific to the fixed line business, the brand we use is PLDT Home, right? As Eric mentioned, we've gone beyond access as well. And the agenda we've been using the past 4 years or so was to have a connected home. At this stage, we're already into critical mass in having digital services running on broadband. That will be DSL and fiber, of course, right? So things that you hear perhaps in the previous reviews, like Telpad, Famcam, the Devolution, running on broadband with all the content that we have, those are things that increase our revenues and with quite hefty margins as well. So, fixed line should be solid.
Understood. That's very clear. Thank you very much. Just on the gearing levels, how should we be thinking about that?
On the gearing level, we had indicated that we're comfortable if our net debt to EBITDA is at below 2x. This obviously has to be considered in light of the higher cash demands now for an elevated capex level going forward, as well as some of the investments we're making in the digital space. And that ties in with the earlier question that was answered with respect to how we would view special dividends. So all of that would be considered when we review again the plans, particularly for next year.
Understood. That's very clear. That's all from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one, and kindly record your name when prompted. To cancel, press star, then two. Our next question comes from Luis Hilado. Your line's now open.
Hi, thanks. Just two follow-up questions from me. One is regarding the potential for a new competition. I believe that San Miguel has been saying that they may have some kind of soft launch or even commercial launch early next year. If they do use the 700 megahertz via some soft launch, would that take away your potential legal claims? Second question is housekeeping one. Interest expenses for the quarter were up double digit year-on-year and Q-on-Q. Is that mainly the impact of the Forex movement or the larger debt year-on-year?
Let me answer the first question. On the matter of the 700 frequency, the use by San Miguel and or Telstra of this frequency does not in any way militate against the validity and strength of our claim. The laws and the applicable regulations today, even by the FTC, demands that incumbents, together with entrants, be given a fair and reasonable share for allocation of radio frequencies, especially in the case of the 700, where worldwide it has been declared as a scarce but valuable and critical resource for enhanced mobile telecommunications. There is no reason why the Philippines would deviate from the pronouncements of the ITU and the APT, to which the Philippines is a member. And that is simply what we're requesting the NTC to do, which is to apply the current laws and regulations and to apply it fairly and reasonably, as they had applied it to PLDT and Smart when we acquired Digitel. If you recall, we were asked to disgorge ourselves of frequency because the NTC found in their own thinking that we had surplus frequency more than what is necessary to meet the public service. In this particular case, the three companies who have not even rolled out any service has basically an allocation of 100 megahertz, which is the entire 700 megahertz band, and the incumbent operators who already have combined over 100 million subscribers don't have any access to this frequency. So the strength and legitimacy of our claim for a fair and reasonable allocation is very strong, and we believe that we should assert this firmly before the FTC and even ultimately before the courts, if that becomes necessary.
With respect to the second question, Louis, on the higher interest expense, it is indeed a function of higher outstanding debt balances as we've been funding higher CAPEX levels as well as some investments. It's also partly a function of the weaker peso or weaker exchange rate, given that a significant portion of our debts are still denominated in U.S. dollars, or about 30%.
Great. Thanks. That's very clear.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kervin Sisayan. Your line is now open.
Hi. Just two questions for me. One is on the broadband segment. It appears that the subscribers have seen strong growth in the wireless subscriber segment, but there's quite a disconnect in terms of revenues, only growing by single digits. I hope that we can get more color on that. And second question is on the depreciation expense. I think it's down year on year despite the increase in CapEx. Is this the new run rate that we can use? Thank you.
On the wireless broadband, we can give you a bit more detail, but it is a combination of two items. There is a healthy increase in terms of the wireless broadband increase from the use of dongles and other similar mobile devices. But we have also a fixed wireless offering that was run at Canopy, and that is technology from which people are migrating out into DSL and other variants. So that number is effectively diluted because of that. But we can give you a bit more detail if you want the specific breakdown.
Let me just build on that. The broadband business, the mobile broadband business subspace has increased by almost 900,000 subscribers year to date. That's for the next first 9 months of the year. So that'll be around 3.5 million subs already as we speak, right? And from a revenue standpoint, that translates to a 34% growth. I think what you're seeing right now is, that includes the fixed wireless subscribers, which are Canopy and WiMAX, which are managed and operated by PLDT, and that's been accounted for because there's an active migration being done right now to better platforms in DSL and fiber to give the consumers better service. But thank you for noting that the broadband business of wireless has grown quite tremendously in this quarter.
Thank you.
On the second question for the depreciation expense.
Sorry, what was the question on depreciation expense?
Lower this year, then.
It seems that the depreciation expense is down year on year. Is this the new run rate that we're going to see despite the increase in CapEx?
Now, there are drivers for that. One is there were certain assets that were impaired towards the end of last year, specifically, again, relating to the Canopy WiMAX fixed wireless offering. So you effectively don't see the depreciation of that. On the other hand, with respect to the depreciation of our new CAPEX, you will note that it's a little back-ended in terms of the booking of our CAPEX. So at the nine-month period, we've only booked 23 billion out of our 43 billion CAPEX. So the full impact of that, the depreciation of the new CAPEX, will not be felt this year, but more next year.
Okay, very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel, you may press star 2. Our next question comes from Arthur Pineda. Your line is now open.
Hi, sorry, just a follow-up question. Just to clarify in your earlier comments on the 700 spectrum and the need to release equitably by Telstra and SMC, by the same token, does this also mean that there's risk that both yourself and Globe could be forced to similarly release your 900 and 1800 bands as well, and we could see some refarming in the industry?
Well, there is no basis for that reallocation.
No, actually, they have 900, more 900 than we have, and they have 1800 in the comparison.
They already have those bands, 900 and 1800, which are not fully utilized at all.
Well, ours is fully used.
Ours is fully used. So it's not as if they don't have any other frequency other than the 700. They have those.
that was a significant amount of frequencies beyond 2 gigahertz in the 2.3 and 2.6,
so
2.5 gigahertz
band. The 900 and 1800 frequency spectrum allocated to us, those have been reasonably allocated and those are fully used. And on the other hand, the SMC or the companies and eventually the Delta have access as well to this very same frequencies. What is clearly the issue is the lack of access or allocation by PLDT and Globe to the 700 megahertz, which today is solely exclusively in the hands of three probably related companies.
What they probably don't know is that these companies have frequencies other than 700. They do.
In all frequencies,
they do. And they're not being utilized at all. So it's not as if they're empty of frequencies other than 700. So that's a total misconception.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one on your telephone keypad. And should you wish to cancel, you may press star then two. One moment, please.
Operator, are there any more callers on the queue?
As of the moment, we don't have any questions on the queue.
Captain, maybe you can read the replay information.
Okay, thank you. I would like to give everyone the instant replay information for today's call. This conference will be available on a 24-hour instant replay starting today, daily on through November 17, 2015. The replay information for the 3 p.m. call is for the U.S. toll-free number 1-888-485-2360. U.K. toll-free number is 0800-376-5743. Hong Kong toll would be 852-3018-4309. Singapore toll-free is 800-120-5787. Japan toll-free, 00531-122-382. Australia toll number is 612-8030-3009. The passcode will be 6080, and conference leader is Melissa Verheldejos. I will now turn the conference back to PLDT for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Our next conference call would be early March when we announce the full year results for 2015. And so we look forward to talk to you then. And we look forward to a very exciting 2016. Thank you.
Thank you. And that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect in your own time.